Morning. Today's daf Mizrachim is Vav. We are on the bottom of the Amud Beis. We're going to start today with the words Yasser Rav Nachman. We did a little bit of this yesterday, but we're going to start back there. But even before we start back there, let's go back to yesterday's dialogue. Our Gemara today is really a continuation of the discussion the Gemara had yesterday, which is really based on the Mishnah. Again, the Mishnah in the beginning of the Masechta, back on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Mishnah brings down good call Zvachim Shemizbuchu Shloshman. That if I have a carbon that's brought Shlo Lishma, so it's kosher, the carbon it could be brought, El Shlo Alu Labal, Lashem Choba. But it's not going to work for the owner. Owner now is detached, disconnected from the carbon. Carbon will still be brought, the carbon will be brought, but it will not provide any kind of kapar for its owner. So let's say, for example, that's a carbon ola, and the carbon, while shechting it or doing any one of the avodas, Shechita Kabbalah Sadam, Halacha or Zrika, if he does any one of the Dalit avodas while having in mind and saying and articulating that it was Shlo Lishman, so under those circumstances, so now the owner needs to bring a new carbon. So this is what we've been learning since the beginning of the Masechta, and the Gemara brought down yesterday the following discussion between Reish Lakish and Rav Elazar. If you take a look at yesterday's daf in the beginning of Hamad Aleph, so Rami Reish Lakish, Amaoi Be Midrashu Makshe. Reish Lakish was lying down in his stomach, and he asked the following question. Im Sherim Heim Yirtzuv, Im Ein Marat from Lamabayim. So Reish Lakish says, I don't get it. So if the owner is receiving a kapara, so that's great. So then you understand why you would bring it. But if the owner is not getting a kapara, so then why would you bring the carbon? What's the point of bringing the carbon if it's not providing any kapara? Meaning, what Reish Lakish is basically asking is, shouldn't it be all or nothing? How can we have a carbon that's being brought, meanwhile, it's not going to be effective towards its owner? And then what would be the point of bringing it? So either you're bringing it and it provides a kapara, or shouldn't bring it at all. Where are we in this middle ground? So Amalei Rav Elazar, so Rav Elazar's response is Matzina Bevayim Lachar Misa Sheng Sherin Vein Maratzim. So Rav Elazar's response is, what do you mean? Is that so incredulous? Consider a scenario where a carbon is brought after the death of the owner, meaning the owner had set aside a carbon and the owner died. We know the children are going to bring the carbon. Now, what kind of ritu is it going to be brought over there? And we brought in the Mishnah and Kinnim. The Mishnah and Kinnim said that after a woman gives birth, so she has to bring a pair of birds. One bird is going to be brought as a carbon ola, and the other one's going to be brought as a carbon chatas. We also pointed out yesterday that if she died before having brought the carbon chatas, you're certainly not going to bring the carbon chatas after she's dead. That's a chatas shemesu bala. So it goes without saying that you're not going to offer the carbon chatas. But what about the carbon ola? Meaning, let's say the carbon chatas was brought and she died, and the carbon ola still has not yet been brought. We know the halacha is that the children are going to bring it. So, and what does that show you? It shows you that children can bring the carbon of their parents. Now, the carbon's not going to be a kapar for the child, right? I mean, that's the assumption of Rav Elazar, and yet the carbon's going to be brought. So, in other words, Rav Elazar's response was, we find it. It's not unprecedented, or to put it in the positive, it's precedented. You do find a carbon that's brought, even though lo alu l'shem balam, it doesn't work for the owner. So that was a back and forth, and then yesterday's daf was a long series of discussions of this dialogue between Reish Lakish and Rav Elazar. On that, now we turn to Hamad Beis, and now it's a takeoff of this discussion. So we're on Hamad Beis, we are about two-thirds of the way down. First word in the line is Krahu Bev Yasu Yehei and Yasve. We're going to start today with a further conversation. Yasve, Rav Nachman, V'Rav Sheshes, V'Yasiv, Rav Adar, Rav Master Gabayu. So we have three Amoraim sitting down together, V'Yasve, V'Kamri. Now they're saying, so what was Rav Elazar's response to Reish Lakish? It's precedented. You have a carbon that was supposed to be brought by the mother. Mother, unfortunately, Rachmana, she died. And yet the children are going to bring the carbon. And that's not going to provide a kapara. So now, as they're going over this answer of Rav Elazar, so they're wondering to themselves, what do you mean it doesn't provide a kapara? So Lema, Lei Reish Lakish, Hanu Nami, Lei Sivalirtsu. So why don't we just simply say that the carbon is brought and the carbon does provide a kapara. Meaning the assumption that Rav Elazar is making is that when the children bring that carbon ola, it does nothing. And yet it's brought. And why isn't the response, what do you mean it does nothing? Maybe it does something. Maybe it provides a kapara. Now, even in the Gemara suggestion over here, who is it going to be providing a kapara for? Now, ostensibly, it's not going to be for the mother. Mother's dead. And a general assumption, although the Gemara doesn't quite frankly articulate it, but it's a general assumption, that Misa provides the necessary kapara. So even as the Gemara is suggesting that it should provide some kapara, or maybe not for the mother, but what about for the kids? Maybe it should provide a kapara for the kids. Why doesn't Reish Lakish respond to Rav Elazar, how can you give me such a case and tell me, oh, it doesn't provide a kapara? Maybe it does provide a kapara. Amalem Ravada Ramasta. So remember, now this is a conversation between Amaraim. So these Amaraim are saying in front of Ravada Ramasta, it should provide a kapara, at least for the kids. And to that, Ravada Ramasta says, Yo lettuce, imhi yalda banam yaldu. Well, what do you mean? Why was the mother bringing this carbonola? Because she was a yaldish, because she gave birth. Now again, to the best of our understanding, meaning what kapara is it providing for Leda? Okay, as I pointed out yesterday, it's a strange form of kapara, but the Ola is providing a kapara for the mother because she had given birth. Okay, now the children are going to bring it. The children gave birth? Not necessarily. It could be that maybe the daughter's bringing it, the daughter also gave birth, but that's unlikely. So in other words, so what kind of kapara are you telling me? So Maskel of Ravasi, we continue now in the Gemara. We're on Hamad base, we're toward the bottom of the Amud. Uman le malan, di iika kama se gaba lo mischapra, vikim dechi iika kama se gaba mechapra, yosher nami mechapra. We're talking about a carbon ola over here. So a carbon ola is a broad carbon, meaning the Torah never gives us exactly what's mechapra for. It could be mechapra for a number of things, as Rashi brings down over here. Let's read the Rashi inside. Rashi says, Rashi dibra maskalman lemala, ika kama se gaba, dio lettuce, dolo mechapra, olasa alaihu, im hevia mechayim. Meaning, had mom not died, and had mom brought the carbonola, wouldn't it provide a kapar for her general averis as well? Rashi continues, ola mechapers alaseva alosa se shinita klase. We know that a carbonola is mechapra for any negation or any neglect of a carbon ase, or a lavanita klase. Rashi continues, detanya gabe olas nadava. B'taras Kohanim, Rashi quotes from the Medrash Halacha, and that is Venir Tzolo Malamid Shehamakom Merutza Lo VaAmah Hamakom Merutza Lo. In other words, the Ola provides a kapar for what? Im Tamar Dvarim Shechayav Malay Mises Beisden Mises Bidei Shemaim Kareis Makos Arbaim Chataos Hashamos Hare Onshen Amur. If it's for any avera where the Torah tells you what the punishment is, well, the Torah tells you what the punishment is. So that's not what the Ola is mechaper for. Ha ein Ola ba ela al aseva alos ase shinin taklase. What a carbon Ola is mechaper for are for the neglect of a mitzvah ase. So now we're restating the question. So you're telling me that the carbon Ola, well, mom was going to bring it for having given birth. The Ola could have also served as a kapara for general neglect of bitul ase. So now, we're just pushing forward the question. So if that's true, so why can't we say the same thing by the children? The children are going to bring this carbonola, and what do you tell me? You'll tell me that it should be mechaper for mom, had mom been alive. It should have been mechaper for mom's bitul aseh, in general. So why can't you say the same thing regarding the kids? That the kids will bring it, and it will provide a kapara for them, for their general neglect of mitzvah aseh. And the Gemara says, okay. Now, if you're right about this, so you're making a supposition. What is the supposition? That when the children are bringing the carbon of their parents, the late parents, so in other words, whose carbon is it now? Yeah, so that's a good question. So whose carbon is it now? Is it the parents' carbon or is it the kids' carbon? By you asking this question, you're assuming now that ownership of the carbon transfers from the parent to the kid. Lememra de kanyalahu. So you want to tell me now that the kids actually acquired the carbon and it's now their carbon? V'am Rav Yochanan, and the Gemara says, but that can't be, because let's take the following into consideration. A couple of statements of Rav Yochanan, and actually three in total. We're going to learn this morning, at the beginning of Shir, three statements by Rav Yochanan, and we're going to have to try to balance the three statements of Rav Yochanan. Statement number one of Rav Yochanan. V'am Rav Yochanan, hiniach mincha l'sheni. Sorry. Hiniach mincha l'shnei banav. A person leaves over carbon mincha. Carbon mincha, which is the next mesechta, which we'll see a short 4 months from now. So the carbon mincha that was set aside by the parent, and Rachmanus the father dies. And now he leaves over the carbon mincha for his two sons. What do we do with the carbon mincha? Umeis, kreva, ve'en bo shitfus. So the carbon mincha is offered, and there's no shitfus regarding such a mincha. One of the rules that we're going to learn together, which we're learning right now, is that a carbon mincha can only be brought by one person. There is no partnership when it comes to carbon mincha, as opposed to animal carbonos. So you want to bring a partnership, a joint effort in bringing a carbon ola, that's fine. But when it comes to carbon mincha must be and can only be brought by one individual, not by two individuals. So a person dies having left the carbon mincha as part of the estate, meaning he set aside the carbon mincha. So the kids are going to bring it, meaning if there are two sons, they're going to bring it, and ein bo shutfus, and there's no shutfus as it relates to that. Now, isa gadach kan yelu nefesh amarachmana. Now, you can't look at it as now there's a transfer of ownership, that the carbon no longer is owned by the parent, and now the Now the carbon is owned by the children. Because the carbon is owned by the children, there are two sons in question. The two sons now would be bringing a mincha as a partnership. But that can't be. In other words, you're not allowed to bring a carbon mincha b'shutfus. V'lo kanyalu. I'm sorry. So that's statement number one of Rav Yochanan. From this, it seems pretty clear that when a carbon is being brought by the Yorish, so it's not their carbon, it's still the parents' carbon. That seems pretty clear. The Gemara says, okay, but let's take another statement of Rav Yochanan, now let's put that in consideration. V'lo kanyalu v'am Rav Yochanan. But there's a second statement of Rav Yochanan. And that is, yinich mehim al shnei banav umeis. Let's say a father set aside a carbon as an animal, and he dies. Kreva v'ein mimirim ba. So the carbon's going to be offered, but there's no tumura. You can't affect tumura. Tumura, another mesechta, later on in Seder Kachim. Tumura is the idea that a person tries to exchange one carbon for another. The Torah says don't do it. Lo yimirenu. The Torah says that this is an issur in the Torah. In fact, it's a subject to Malchus. It's one of those unusually sermon in the Torah where it's a violation done through dibur, done through speech, and yet you're going to get Malchus. Okay. When we get to tomorrow, we'll talk more about that. Torah says lo yimirenu. The im heimir yamiroso. Torah then goes on to say, and what if you do? What if you try to affect tamura? It's effective, even though you're not allowed to do it. Hu usmuraso yekodesh. The original animal, the principal animal, and the animal you tried to exchange it with are both going to have kedushas karban. Now, another basic rule, which we're going to learn in Masechta Tamura, which we're learning right now, is that when it comes to tamura, tamura can only be affected by an individual. Tamura cannot be affected by a karban that's owned in a partnership. So halacha regarding tamura. So Rav Yochanan says that if father left an animal for his two sons, the animal can be brought the ein mimirin ba, but tamura cannot be affected by the kids. Now, if the right way to look at it is that the kids are in fact going to acquire the karban, so then I understand why the kids can't affect tamura, because the kids are two. That's a partnership, and that's why they can't affect tamura. And we know that a partnership can't be Mamir. So by virtue of the fact that the kids cannot affect Tamura, that teaches me that it doesn't belong to the kids, but rather, sorry, other way around. It teaches me that it does belong to the kids, and that's why you can't affect Tamura, because a partnership can't affect Tamura. Ella Iyamart, we're on the top of Avam and Aleph. But if you're going to tell me, Lo Kanya Luhu and Murinam Elemru. But if the kids aren't acquiring the animal, so that means that the principal owner of the animal is the deceased father. Deceased father was one individual. So why can't the kids affect Tamura? So we are now at a little bit of an impasse. The first statement of Rav Yochanan regarding the mincha seems to teach me that when a carbon is inherited by the children, so who's the principal owner? From the first statement, it sounds like the parent, the late parent, is still the owner by virtue of the fact that the kids can bring a carbon mincha. Again, if the kids become the owner, mincha can only be brought by one person, not by a partnership. The kids are a partnership. So that teaches me that the parent is still the rightful owner of the karban. And the kids bring it. But in this last statement, or in the second statement of Rav Yochanan that we just learned together, where it teaches me that the kids can't affect tamura, well, if the father still remains the principal owner, the father is a single individual. So why can't the kids affect tamura? Ela iamart lo kanyalu imur namelemru. That's the Gemara's question. So why can't they affect tamura? So shani hasam damakra im heimir yamir la rabbis is a yoresh. Echad meimir ve'ein shnayim meimirin. So the Gemara says, well, as far as why the kids can't affect tamura, let's say that the kids in fact do become the rightful owner. I'm sorry, that the father remains the rightful owner. As far as tamura is concerned, gzeras hakasav. It's a special limud. Meaning, im heimir yamir, the Torah uses a double lashon. What's the double lashon teaching me? Le rabos is a yorish. It's coming to include the yorish. Meaning, as a special gzeras hakasav, a child can affect tamura. Echad meimir ve'ein shnayim meimirin. But the child can affect tamura, but we know that only one can affect tamura, not two people. Meaning, if there's one surviving child, and there's only one child who's inheriting the karban, so he can affect tamura. Not necessarily because he's the owner of the karban, but simply because it's a gzeras hakasav. If there are two children, on the other hand, well, two children can't affect tamura because, again, just within the rules of tamura, two people cannot affect tamura. So, where we're at right now in the Gemara is the basic approach, which is that the kids are not really inheriting the karban. The kids are bringing the karban, but they don't become they're not the kona. They don't acquire the karban. That's effectively the correct way to look at it. And vis-a-vis the halachas of tamura, a child can affect tamura, but that's a special gzeras hakasav. And that only works when there's one child and not two children. So the Gemara says, really, Well, let's take a look at Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni, we know, the halacha is that if you have Maaser Sheni in your possession on the first, second, fourth, fifth year of every Shemitah cycle, so your second 10%, your first 10% always goes to the Levi, all 6 years of the Shemitah cycle. Year seven, of course, is Shemitah, but in all 6 years of the Shemitah cycle, the first 10% goes to the Levi. The second 10%, four of those years are going to be Kadosh, and you bring it to Yerushalayim in Yerushalayim. We also know that what you could do is you could be Poda, you could redeem. The basic halacha of Pidyon is that if you're the owner and you're redeeming, so you have to add a chumash. If you're not the owner, and you're sponsoring somebody else's Pidyon, so you don't have to add a chumash. And here's the halacha regarding Maaser Sheni, which is now being bequeathed from the father to the son. Im Gaol Yigael, Rabbis is a Yorish. That Im Gaol Yigael comes to teach me that it includes the Yorish as well. Meaning, just like there's a chumash regarding the father, there's also going to be a chumash regarding the inheritor. So, Hachinami, Echad Gaol Vein Shneim Gaolim. So why don't we say the same thing? Meaning that's only true if there's one inheritor, but not if there's two inheritors. Shani Maisa Degabi Avor Nami Isa Bishutfa. So the Gemara says, no, you can't compare the halacha of Tamura to the halacha of Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni, there's no exclusion of partnership. Meaning if you have a partnership and one of the partners wants to redeem, he has to add a chumash. When it comes to Tamura, that's not true. So in other words, when it comes to the halacha of Tamura, so the reason why the child can affect Tamura is because in the halachas of Tamura, we have a special gzeres hakasav. Im heimir yamir. In other words, the double lashon tells me that the child can affect Tamura. If there are two children, they can't because it doesn't work b'shutfas. Masha enkein, when it comes to Maaser Sheni, well, Maaser Sheni never had that exclusion of shutfas. Meaning by Maaser Sheni, it can be redeemed even as a partnership. So if there are two children, they can redeem it as well. So it's not a fair comparison. Okay, so where do we stand right now? Amalei Rav Asi l'Rav Ashi umina. So Rav Asi says to Rav Ashi, so let's go straight from the halacha we just learned together. So the Gemara says, okay, but where do we stand right now? We wanted to say that when a carbon is owned by an individual and he dies, the ownership, transfer of ownership does not go to the child. That's what we've been saying. So the Gemara says, but that's true if there are two children. If there's one child, so that one child could be Mamer. That one child can affect Tamura. So the Gemara says, if that's true, haven't we answered our question? Our question is, who in fact is the rightful owner of the carbon? Is it the father or is it the kid? Well, if it's one kid, he can affect Tamura. Well, if it's one kid, he can affect Tamura. So the Gemara says, so doesn't that show you that the child is in fact the owner? Ela iamart lo kanya lehu hechi meimer. And if the child is not the rightful owner, he can't affect Tamura. Someone who's not the principal owner of a carbon cannot affect Tamura. V'hamar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. And now the Gemara quotes a third statement by Rav Yochanan. And here now we have to juggle the third statement. What is the third statement of Rav Yochanan? The following. Hamatish Mosif Chamish Umiskaper Osa Tamura. Okay, the halacha goes like this. Let's say a person is obligated to bring a carbon and he just simply doesn't have the funds. In other words, he assigned himself we could be talking about an olam. Seemingly, we could also be talking about a chatas as well, although that's not perfectly clear. But let's just deal with a simple case. A person is obligated to bring a carbon, only just simply doesn't have the funds. A friend of his, who's a man of means, says, you know what? I'll sponsor your carbon. I'll pay for your carbon. You could do that. You could sponsor somebody else's carbon. So when I am sponsoring somebody else's carbon, so who is now the owner? Well, there are really two people. There's the person who paid for it, and the person who it's providing kapara for. Rav Yochanan teaches us the following halacha. The makdish, the one who sanctified it, meaning the sponsor, he's mosif chamish. In the event that the animal is going to be redeemed, now it's unusual that a carbon is going to be redeemed. When I say unusual, you can't redeem a carbon. A carbon has kedushas haguf, it has inherent sanctity, so it's not redeemable. However, if it develops a blemish, under those circumstances, you can redeem it. So now, we know, again, the halacha is the same halacha when it comes to the redemption of a carbon, much like Maaser Sheni. If the owner redeems it, he has to tack on a fifth. If somebody else redeems it, he doesn't have to tack on a fifth. So, just give me 1 second. The matish mosif chamish, meaning, in the case of sponsorship, the sponsor is the one that, in the event that he's going to redeem it, he has to add on a fifth. Miskaper osa tamura. But vis-a-vis the halacha of tamura, who, in fact, is going to be able to do tamura? Interestingly, not the matish, the miskaper, the one who's receiving the kapara. And then there's another statement of Rav Yochanan, which we're going to read, although it's not relevant to our discussion. V'atar mishlo, al shel chaver tovas ana shelo. And if you set aside truma for somebody else, meaning somebody else has produce, and you want to sponsor his truma, you can sponsor his truma. Question whether or not you need his permission or not. But again, it's not our discussion for now. So you can sponsor his truma. And as far as tova sana, remember, with truma, you have to give it to the kohen. Whichever kohen you want, that has a value. Meaning by you selecting, by determination of which kohen you want to give it to, so that power of allocation is what's called tova sana, that has a value. Who's assigned that value? Who's given that right? So the tova sana goes to the person who's toring, to the one who's sponsoring the truma. Okay, but again, that's not for our discussion. What is for our discussion is the following. The first statement of Rav Yochanan in this third citation is that the makdish etz chomish, but the miskaper, the one who's receiving kapara, is the one who affects tamura. The one who's receiving kapara, and now we have all learned together that the child can, in fact, affect tamura with this animal, so doesn't that show us that he's the miskaper? And here the Gemara ends off the entire discussion with one line. Mikva lo mechapra, mikufya mechapra. Look, who's the real miskaper when it comes to a carbon? Carbon left by somebody, he died. And now there's a carbon that needs to be brought. So, the child has the right to bring it. Does that mean that the child is now receiving the kapara? The Gemara says, kinda. The Gemara's language, it's a strange language, but the Gemara's language is mikufya mechapra. He gets some sort of residual kapara. But really the principal miskaper, the principal person who's receiving the kapara is the original owner, meaning in this case, the father. Where does all this lead us to? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Mikva lo mechapra, mikufya mechapra. Rashi is right in the middle of the Amud, a little bit lower than that. I'm reading the Rashi inside. Kapar kavushi hei yorish balav mamish ein lahen. When a person inherits a karban and is bringing the karban, he's not really the principal mechaper. So now we go back to the first statement of Rav Yochanan. First statement of Rav Yochanan was regarding the Karban Mincha. Man dies, leaves the Mincha to his two sons. Can it be brought? Yes. That was Rav Yochanan's first statement. That's a clear indication that the father is still the owner. Because if the kids are the owner, we know a Mincha cannot be offered by a partnership. So that teaches us that really, principally, the father is the Mechaper. And again, the father died already, so he doesn't need the Kapara. But in terms of the question, who is still principally the mechaper? It's the father. And that's why the mincha is still following the father. Father is the sole proprietor, and that's why the mincha can be offered. Ava kapara kufya vitsafa mimele yesh lembo vehokach meimer. But because there is some sort of residual kapara that is assigned to the child, so vis-a-vis the halach of tamura, the child can affect tamura. The child is receiving enough kapara. I can't quantify it. I can't tell you how much kapara is receiving, but it's some residual amount. Since the child is receiving some sort of residual amount, that residual kapara that he gets is enough where he can affect tamura. So basically, the Gemara ends off with it's basically the father's, but to a certain extent, to a limited extent, it also, the child is getting some form of kapara as well. Not enough where it'll passel it if it's karban mincha, meaning as a karban mincha, it still principally belongs to the father, but enough where if he tries to affect tamur, the tamur will be effective. Tamur cannot be affected by, the tamur can only be affected by the mechaper. The child gets enough of a kapara where we can say that he can affect tamur.
He has the right of appointment.
Right.
So the recipient is not responsible. You got a matana, it's a korban, you got a matana, and then if you want to do it tomorrow, you add the fifth to it. Why isn't it the responsible?
Keep all the halachas in its right place. Meaning, chomish is a halacha vis-a-vis redemption. Tamur is a halacha vis-a-vis trying to exchange the animal for another.
But the example you gave was that if the guy wanted to do a tamur, then the sponsor had to add a fifth. Right?
No. Those are two separate halachas. One halacha is pejam, is redemption. Who has the right to redeem it? The truth of the matter is anyone has the right to redeem it once it becomes a ba'amum. Who has to add a chomish? The one who sponsored. That's halacha number one.
If you look at it as a gift, right, why is he still like involved to add the fifth?
Because he's the Makdish, meaning the Torah says that the Makdish, the one who sanctified it, so he's the one who, in the event of redemption, has to add on a fifth. He, even though, I understand what you're saying, but even though he's sponsoring on behalf of somebody else, ultimately he's considered the Makdish. I do understand your point, but by virtue of the fact that he funded it, so he is viewed as the Makdish.
Did he receive any kapara for
it? No. No, right.
He's responsible because of changing the status of that thing to the Makdish.
Right. In other words, he's the one who's right. He's paying for it. So he's viewed as the Makdish. So vis-a-vis the halacha of Chomesh, he's branded now the Makdish, and therefore he has to add a Chomesh. Vis-a-vis the halacha of Temura, Temura follows the one who is receiving the Kapara. So the one's being sponsored, he's the Mischaper, and therefore he can affect Temura. And again, that brings us now back to the question of the child. If the child can affect Temura, so doesn't that show us that the child is Mischaper? And the Gemara ends off with mostly it's the father's, but again, he doesn't need it. The child receives the residual kapara. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, the Gemara calls it kufya. Rashi, I didn't read the rest of the Rashi. Rashi said the kufya means float, the part floating on top. Saf. So, but the child is receiving a residual kapara enough so that he can affect Temura. That's the...
So that, by this it says that the child has to have something to do to bring korbanot for, right?
Well, that was Gemara's original suggestion, that maybe it could work for him. But what the Gemara is now answering is that effectively no. Mostly, again, to the best of my ability to articulate, mostly it still belongs to the principal. The principal in this case is the father. So he's not really receiving a kapara. But enough of a residual kapara, whatever that means, enough of a residual kapara where he can affect Temura. That's the Gemara's answer. It's not understood. It's a loose answer. It's hard for me to quantify and qualify, but that's how the Gemara views it. When all said and done, so the Gemara's question is, when a parent set aside a carbon and he dies, that carbon's still going to be brought. When the carbon, again, with the exception of a carbon chatas, because the carbon chatas shemesu ba'aleha, so the animal has to be disposed of. But short of that, by any other carbon, the child is going to bring the carbon. Whose carbon is it? So quite frankly, conclusively, the carbon's still attached to the father. It's still considered the father's carbon. The child is really not the kona. He doesn't acquire the carbon. And by the way, I should have said this in the beginning. We're talking about kinyan and we're talking about acquisition. The carbon really belongs to nobody. Meaning, I could have made this as a general point in the beginning. Who's really the owner of the carbon? Carbon belongs to the Beis HaMikdash now, it's the Mizbech. But we talk about ownership, we're talking about now, who is it assigned to? Like, who is now benefiting from the bringing of this carbon? So what the Gemara's answer is, it's still really the father. Assignment of the carbon still belongs to the father. It's not the sons.
So the son doesn't get any benefit from it?
Now again, that would have been good had it not been for the Gemara's conclusion. The Gemara's conclusion is that the child gets some sort of residual kapara. I understand your point. I'm just telling you what the Gemara says. It's enough where it actually plays out practically in halacha. How so? Because the child can affect Temura. What do you mean? The child can affect Temura. Only the miskapara can affect Temura. Answers the Gemara. His residual kapara is enough where it can affect Temura.
That's right. That the son has to have something done to be needing it.
I don't disagree with you. I mean, okay.
But then the question is, if somebody has a head, you give a partial, if the son has a head, he has to bring a korban. So if he wants to bring a korban, can he bring a korban half of it for his dad, half of it for himself? Because that's what he's practically doing.
I know, but it doesn't. It generally doesn't work that way. Generally, okay. Ibai lehu, kipra mashabau olo kipru. The Gemara has the following question. Now, quite frankly, it's this next, I would say, like 10 lines of Gemara, right up to the two dots, it'll be a little bit tricky for me. I've gone over this Gemara a number of times. I don't fully understand the back and forth, the give and take. To the best of my ability, I will make an attempt. Kipro mashabo olo kipro. Is it receiving a kapara in that which is brought, or is it not receiving a kapara? Meaning, again, let's go back to the basic halacha that we learned in the Mishnah. Kohen brought the carbon, but he had a shelo lishma. He had another carbon in mind. So again, what does that do? It creates detachment. Creates detachment, which means that the carbon's still going to be brought, but no longer going to provide any kind of kapara for its owner. Ask the Gemara the following question. So, can it provide a kapara at least for everything up until the point where there was a shinui? Or is it not providing a kapara? So, Amar Shish is buried Rav Edim and stopped at the Lo Kippur. What do you mean? Once the Kohen has a Shlol Lishma Kavana, so the carbon now is detached. So, doesn't that mean it should provide nothing for him? Isa gadacha kipru sheni lam huba. And the question of the Gemara seems to be pretty straightforward. If the first carbon that's being brought, again, detached from its owner, if it's being brought and it does provide a kapara, so why then would I bring a second carbon? Ve'alamai lo kipru. So the Gemara says, well, if it's not providing a kapara, lamu krav. So why bring it all together? Now, again, I know it's a funny question because that's what we've been spending the last 5 days learning. We're bringing it because it's still a valid carbon, albeit detached from its owner, but it's still a valid carbon. So that's why I struggle a little bit with this Gemara when the Gemara asks, well, why bring it all together? Why bring it all together? Because it's still a carbon. But still, the Gemara articulates the question. So, lama hu krav? Amar Rav Ashi, Rav Shisha, bered Rav Idi hachi kakashalei. So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood. This is really his question. Well, if you're telling me that it's not mechaper, so the lo lishmo is coming from the fact, by virtue of the fact that at one point in time it was lishmo. Visheni hu balechaper. And the sheni is really providing the kapara. Eli amar kipru, but if you're telling me that the first carbon provides some sort of kapara, sheni lama hu ba, well, why bring the second one altogether? Meaning that the first one provides no kapara whatsoever. Now, again, in this exchange, in this back and forth, it's not perfectly clear to me, I'm just admitting my deficiency in this Gemara, what the Gemara started off with as an assumption and what the Gemara what we just learned together. Ostensibly, what we just learned together is that despite the fact that you have to still bring the first carbon, but as far as kapara, it's a zero, and that's why you bring a second one, because the second one is what he still needs to bring as a kapara.
It's related to the prior discussion about the Temura, how could the Temura I think that's why it's brought up. Why the Temura? If it's nothing, why is it providing something for the...
Why can he affect Temura if it's not providing anything? Right. But again, though, this... I don't know, because previously we were talking about the relationship of the carbon vis-a-vis the late father and his son. Right. This Gemara's question over here is just simply a question of, nobody died over here. In other words, we're still talking about where the principle's still around, and then what's the... If I'm bringing the first carbon and it's not providing any kapar, why would I bring it? But again, that question was already answered previously in the Gemara. You bring it because it's an adava, meaning it's still a karba. What the Gemara here introduced to us, again, I'm not totally sure. Ibai Eluhu. Okay. Now, we have learned in the beginning of this morning's shiur that a karban ola, it does provide a kapara. It's not clearly articulated in the Torah, but we went through earlier this morning the Medrash Halacha Torah Kohanim, and Torah Kohanim teaches us that when you bring a karban ola, it covers your bitul aseis. So let's say, Rachmanis, you went for a week without wearing tefillin. So now, you were mevatel aseh. That's a mitzvah to say in the Torah. You negated it. You neglected it. So you bring a carbon ola, and that provides for you that kapara. So now, the Gemara's question goes like this. Now, you set aside a carbon ola because you went a week without wearing tefillin. Okay. Now, after setting aside the carbon, it hasn't yet been brought, you went another week without wearing tefillin. Okay. Can now this carbon provide coverage for that second week? In other words, after you set aside the carbon, you now went another week without putting on tefillin. So is it going to provide a larger coverage? And the Gemara says...
Are you designating the minute you... Nah.
Mi amrina, let's read on the Gemara. Mi amrina mi didave achatas. Well, the Gemara says, well, let's compare the effect of a carbon ola with that of a carbon chatas. Now, by carbon chatas, we know. And the Gemara spells it out. Ma chatas de kodem. When you set aside a carbon chatas, person ate chalev, finds out b'shogeg, and he discovers that he ate chalev. So he sets aside a carbon. The carbon there, unequivocally, is there to be mechaper for the chalev that he ate. If he eats chalev again after the afrasha, the carbon chatas will do nothing for that second achila. For that second achila, he's now going to have to bring another carbon. That's unequivocal. And the Gemara says, maybe the same thing is true with regarding a carbonola. Meaning a carbonola, maybe it operates in the same manner. Odim alo dami lechatas. On the other hand, maybe we can't compare it to a chatas. Dechatas akol chay v'chayt by la suye. Chadachatas. V'hacha kevin de'ika kama ase gabe mechaper ase del acha afrasha nami mischaper. On the other hand, a carbonola is a more global mechaper. Meaning in the example that I gave where you went 7 days without putting on tefillin. On a regular week, it's 6 days. But you went 6 days without putting on tefillin. The carbon ola is not for one bitul aseh. The carbon ola is for multiple bitul aseh. In fact, I can even go a step further. Let's say you didn't put on tefillin, and you didn't wear tzitzis. Okay. It's still a mitzvah sase. It's a mitzvah kiyum. It's not chiyuvis, but still, you didn't wear tzitzis as well, or you didn't eat matzah. So in other words, we know that a carbon olah has coverage for both. Meaning, with one carbon olah, it can cover a larger amount, both in terms of quantity and in terms of quality. So maybe by virtue of the fact that the carbon olah in its nature is fundamentally different than carbon chatos. Carbon chatos comes for a specific chet. And if I repeat that chet, I have to bring a new carbon chatos. But that's not true by carbon olah. So now maybe the argument will go that even after you set aside the carbon olah, but you haven't brought it yet, any aver that you do or any bitel aseh that you do between the afrasha and the akrava, maybe should provide coverage for that as well. Tashma. So the Gemara says, well, let's consider. V'samach v'nirtza. Quoting from the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra, Perek Aleph, the Torah says, you do smicha, and it's ritzui. Smicha is one of the actions that you have to do with a carbon olah. You put your hands on the animal. V'chi smicha mechaper, v'lo in kapar ela b'dam. Now, what does that mean, smicha is mechaper? It's not the smicha that provides the kapara, it's the sprinkling of the blood. The Pasuk says, shenemar, ki adam hu b'nefesh yichaper. It's the sprinkling of the blood that provides the kapara. Elamata malamar v'samach v'nirtza l'chaper, she'im asa smicha, shayari mitzvah, mala lava kasav, ki'ilu lo kiper v'kiper. The Bryce ends off with a most unusual statement. If you didn't do smicha, it's ki'ilu, it's like, you're not mechaper, but truth be told, you're mechaper. It is a mechaper. Now, my love. Now, what is pshat in that last line? De kiper asay de kodem afrasha, lo kiper asay de smicha, davile esa da achar afrasha. Ostensibly, must mean like this. Anything before you were mafresh the carbon olah, coverage. Anything after you were mafresh the carbon olah, let's say, for example, smicha, because this person over here didn't do smicha, he neglected the mitzvah's essay of smicha, so maybe he doesn't provide kapar for the failure of smicha. Why? Because that occurred after the hafrasha. Isn't that pshat in the braisa? Amar Rava, asay de smicha kamart. So Rava says, what are you talking about? The mitzvah's assay of smicha, shani asam to kol chamad al shachad, ba'amod v'samach. Look, as far as the mitzvah smicha is concerned, when do you have the opportunity to do smicha? As long as you didn't shech the animal. Up until the point of shechita, you have a chance to do smicha. So kai emas kahave asay la'achar shechita. La'achar shechita l'kami ba'ilan. And now, at what point now did you neglect smicha? At the point of shechita. Meaning, it's the very point of shechita now where you neglected it. So really, when does the bitul aseh kick in? At shechita. So at shechita, so what Rava's response is, no. Even as we're entertaining the question of, can an ola cover even averos, again, I say averos over here, I mean the neglect of an aseh. Can it cover from hafrasha and onward? Even here, we're never going to entertain that it can cover things after the shechita. Any bit I'll say post-shechita, even when we're asking the question, we're never entertaining post-shechita. And so over here, when does the neglect of smicha kick in? Post-shechita. So that can't be part of the discussion. I'm Le Ravuna Bar Yehuda Larava, Ema Kiper Gavra, Lo Kiper Kamishmaya. Well, maybe we could say like this. Maybe when he brings the carbon olah, when the brice ends off with the words keeper below keeper, meaning did he receive a kapara? The answer is yes, and it's an unequivocal yes. And maybe when the brice says but low keeper, it means kamishmaya, means in front of heaven. What does that mean? Take a look at the top Rashi on Amud Beis. Low keeper kamishmaya lenachas ruach lekono. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy with you? No, he's not so happy. Dolo avad mitzvah min amovchar. Because you didn't do the mitzvah as best as you could. The mitzvah done as best as you could is doing it with smicha. You didn't do it with smicha. The low kiper just simply is, it's a label. It's a judgment. Did you receive a kapara? Ultimately, the answer is going to be yes. And for all averas that were done before the afrasha, and averas that were done after the afrasha as well. The low kiper just simply means, but you know you didn't do the best job you could. If you're going to get a grade, you're not getting an A. You're not going to get a B as well. It may be somewhere in the C or D territory. But in other words, it's not an A. But in terms of what it's going to be mechaper for, it could very well be that's mechaper for bitul aseh before the afrasha, and bitul aseh after the afrasha as well. Milo Tanan, and the Gemara now hits this point, where if I didn't do something in its totality, it could very well be that the low key period just simply means you didn't do the best job. You're not getting an A. I'll give you another example. Says the Gemara, Vitanan. I'm sorry, Milo Tanan. What about the following Mishnah? Hanosa b'shemen asher akaf lechaper lav lefnei Hashem. A mitzora. When going through the process of taharas mitzora, so you take the blood of the carbon asham and you take oil and you do an application to the mitzora on the right ear, on the right thumb, on the right toe, and you do that both with the dam asham and you do that also with the shemen as well. Then what happens with whatever oil is remaining? You pour the oil on his head. Now, im nitan kiper, v'im lo nitan lo kiper, div Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva takes a position where you did all the applications, but you didn't take the remainder and pour it on his head. Under those circumstances, Rabbi Kiva takes the position, lo kiper, no good. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri omer, shiurim mitzvahin, bein nitan, bein shelo nitan, kiper. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, no, you did everything you needed to do. Did you do everything you should have done? No. But you do everything you needed to do? Yes. You did the application on the earlobe, thumb, and toe. And mala alav ki'ilu lo kiper. And the Torah, when the Torah uses the terminology of lo kiper, it's as if you weren't mechaper. My ki'ilu lo kiper. Now what does that mean? Ilema, dimi ba'ili sui carbon achrina. Does that mean you have to bring another carbon? No, according to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Hamar ben nitan ben lo nitan kiper. Because Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says very clearly that whether you did or you didn't, it's mechaper. Ela keeper gavra lo keeper kamishmaya. So it must be like what we just said. Meaning that when you didn't pour the remainder on his head, it means you didn't get an A. You didn't get a B. You got a C or you got a D. You got a passing grade, but it wasn't the best. Hachanami, just give me a second. Hachanami keeper. Same thing over here. Meaning if you didn't do smicha, even though the language of the Brisa is lo keeper, what the Brisa does not mean it doesn't provide a kapara, it just simply means you're not going to get an A or a B.
It's not me'akev.
That's what the Gemara is saying. That's what the Gemara is saying. But you have to deal with the language. The language of the Torah is lo kiper. Or the language of Yochanan ben Nuri is lo kiper. What does that mean, lo kiper? So it means that you didn't get an A. Similarly, when smicha, you didn't get an A. So hasanami, kiper matan bahonos, lo kiper matan arosh. So the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe we can interpret it to mean as follows. Meaning, did you fulfill steps 1 and 2 and 3, applying the oil to the earlobe and to the thumb and to the big toe? The answer is yes. Did you pour the oil on his head? And the answer is no. Maybe lo kiper means that you're going to have to redo that last step. Maybe that's what lo kiper means. So again, we're not totally convinced and sure that the lo kiper is just a grade. Maybe lo kiper means that there's still something that he has to do. So tashma. So once again, what's the question on the table? Question on the table is that a person brings a carbonola. It certainly will serve as a kapar for anything before the afrasha. Will it also serve a kapar for anything after the afrasha as well? Rabbi Shimon Omer, kifse etzeres lamehin bayin. So the Gemara quotes a Tosefta. The Tosefta starts off asking the question, why bring the kifse etzeres? To that, the Gemara asks a question on the question. Why bring the kifse etzeres? Kifse etzeres shlamim ninu. What do you mean? It's a carbon shlamim. We're supposed to bring it. Ela si'irei atzeres lamehin bayin. Why bring the goats? Meaning there's a pair of goats that are brought on Shavuos. Al tomas mikdash v'kadashav. Excuse me. It's brought on the violation of tomas mikdash. Remember back in Masechet Shavuos, the first two prakim that we did together, a lot of the discussion was that the si'irim brought on Yontif, as well as on Rosh Chodesh as well, are being brought for the avera of somebody going into the base of mikdash while tummy. So, and he did so in a state of shogeg. So the two seerim that are brought in Shavuos is for that. Now Nizrak Dama Rishon, Shemi Lamikrav. Al Tuma Sheira Bein Zeh Lezeh. So if the first goat that's brought on Shavuos is serving as a kapara for Tumas Mikdash, what about the second goat? Second goat is there to bring a kapara for anything that occurred between 1 and 2. Now, if that's true, so when should we bring a seer? All the time. But the Torah was realizing that this would be financially onerous upon us, and so therefore the Torah didn't demand of us all the time. Now, let's consider, when would the seer set aside? Presumably at one moment. And yet, seer number 2 can be mechaper for any avera between 1 and 2. Isn't that a good indication that even after the hafrasha, the seir could be provided kapara, even for those averas post hafrasha? Id afreshinu, next point of the Gemara. Id afreshinu bevasa achas achanami. The Gemara says, look, if your argument would be good, assuming the hafrasha of the two seir occurred concurrently. So the Gemara says, but we're talking about a case over here where the two were set aside one after the other. The Gemara says, really? Really? That's the instructions of the Torah? The Torah demands that we bring two seirim on Shavuos, and the Torah also demands that we are makdishet zeh achar zeh. If that's an important element, you really mean to tell me that that's the instructions of the Torah? The Torah didn't say that. Rapapa says, look, the question is still on the table, and your example of the seirim, let's say the seirim were actually mufresh at the same time. You can't bring a proof from the seirim. Why? Because they're carbon sibor. And shani carbon sibor, delay based in kamastan alehim. And the Gemara says, when it comes to carbon sibor, a carbon sibor is more fungible. Meaning, when you set aside a carbon sibor, so a carbon sibor has flexibility in it, even though it's mufresh, it can be repurposed, it can be reassigned. And we're going to start tomorrow with the discussion is, where else do we find this bicarbon sibor, that it can be repurposed, it can be reassigned, but it's fungible. And so therefore, fungible means it's flexible, it has flexibility. It could be applied to one thing, it could be applied to another. So it's true that when it comes to a carbon sibor, even if they were more fresh at the same time, it could be that the second seir that's brought in Shavuos is going to be providing a kapar between 1 and 2. It was mufresh earlier. Yeah, but that's a carbon sibor. A carbon sibor, as we're going to see in the beginning of Tamar Shir, can be totally repurposed if necessary. So that doesn't bother me. Over here, I'm asking by an individual carbon ola, after the person was mafreshit, can it now create a coverage for averos between the hafrasha and the akrava? That question is still left on the table. And tomorrow we're going to open up with this idea of high carbon seabor laid based in Mastin Alain.